after 4 o'clock here on the Fan, Evan and Tiki on this Monday here in New York City, the beginning of the All-Star break. Got the Home Run Derby tonight, the All-Star game tomorrow, a couple of days, a chance to have a respite, a chance to spend time with your family, a chance to maybe not watch every inning of Mets and Yankee games. I'm raising my hand because I'm one of those people. It's a chance to take a break. Now, I have to ask you something, Tiki, because this was a story that I heard about a few days ago, and it didn't move me because it didn't mean anything to me quite yet.
Okay.
And as the days have gone by, it's built up and up and up and up, and now I'm excited. And I don't want to be excited. I only want to be excited when I know I should be excited. So I'll give you the origins of this. A few days ago, Aaron Rodgers made a comment about Devontae Adams.
He did.
He said, I can't wait to play with him again.
He's been wooing him for years, it feels like.
So, right. And maybe that's a part of why I heard it, and I was like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. He wants to play with Devontae Adams again, whatever. Then there's an interview with Breece Hall with Kay Adams, and Kay asks Breece about Devontae Adams rumors, and Breece Hall talks about Devontae Adams as if he's on the team. Like basically, oh, yeah, Devontae will get his, I'll get mine. But then the third thing was from Boomer himself this morning. Boomer Esiason, in responding to G bringing this up, hey, Boomer, here's this weird thing going on with Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers made the comment. Breece Hall made the comment. I'm still not moved, by the way. Heard all this stuff, and I'm like, eh, it doesn't mean anything. This is what moved me. That beautiful, Norwegian, blonde-haired lefty, Boomer Esiason, moved me. So Giannotti brings it up to Boomer this morning, and Boomer's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I think he'll be a Jet by late August, early September. And I'm like, what?
What?
So now Boomer's under the impression, and he cited, well, look, if you watch the show Wide Receiver, Devontae's clearly miserable there, and it's just, it's all going to happen. So now I don't know what to do with myself, because while I've never thought that Devontae Adams was a must, if you're going to add Devontae Adams to that wide receiver room, to the offensive weapons that Aaron Rodgers has, I ain't saying no.
Right.
It's not like I'm against it. So do you think this is going to happen based on all these little pieces that have come together over the last couple days?
So BT used to always talk about this arc of intersection, like all the good players being experienced enough, but talented enough and not quite over the hill enough that they all meet at the right time. And therefore, as a team, you have a chance to win a championship.
Right.
And for a guy who didn't play professional sport, he's so right about that.
Right.
Right. Teams have to think about that when they're constructing their roster. And so if you go look at the Raiders right now, you go look at the arc of intersection of a lot of their players, it's all like all over the place.
Right.
Like nothing aligns. And especially with Devontae Adams, who's going to be 32 years old this season.
In the middle of the season, he'll turn 32. Yeah,
so I guess it's his year 31 season, but it's kind of his year 32 season as well. So it's like, is he part of the future with Aiden O'Connell, whoever starts at quarterback next year, and Zamir White, who's the running back, who's 24, whatever he is, or the offensive line that's going to be remade, or the new head coach that has to, you know, get his new philosophies in? The answer is likely no.
Right.
Like Devontae Adams' arc of intersection doesn't match.
So say it to me, baby.
He's ready to win.
Say it to me.
Now.
Say it louder.
The question is just going to be, what are the Jets willing to give up for him?
First and a fourth?
Yeah, and I think it's gonna probably be more because of the need, right? The Raiders don't have to get rid of him. They don't have to. They can just say, dude, you got a contract.
They can have an unhappy player.
Unhappy player.
That's the risk.
Play it out. And by the way, he's not presenting himself as unhappy, Devontae Adams. Now he's frustrated clearly because he doesn't have a quarterback. It's on a high level right now. At least we don't think so. And so he can just kind of slow play it. The Jets come in, and Aaron Rodgers is now pushing and forcing and like making this thing tampered with and public.
Tampering is okay. Jalen Brunson taught us it's okay.
Tampering by players is A-okay.
Yeah.
But my point is Aaron Rodgers has made this top of mind for everyone who's even thinking about it. Therefore, it feels like it's a desperation.
So is it going to happen?
Do I? Yes, I do think.
Oh, my God.
But
Boomer, Tiki, everybody.
The question is how much? The question is going to be
the
how
cost?
Much.
Look.
And again, should it matter? The answer is no.
Well, it should matter.
No, it shouldn't because you're trying to win now.
Absolutely.
You don't have yeah, we can do this. And yeah, like 3 years, we'll be fine. It's the Jets. You got to win now.
No, I get that it's a win now move, and you're going to move heaven and earth to make it happen. But obviously, there is a limit to what you're willing to give up. Would I give up a future first-round pick for him? I would. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm getting a guy who's a Hall of Famer in the prime of his career who's got an incredible chemistry with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
All of a sudden, I got Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson in the same wide receiver room, mm-hmm. plus the second-best running back in the NFL in Breece Hall, and a vastly improved offensive line. Here's the one thing I ask. If the Jets get Devontae Adams, I don't want to hear anybody use the term, and I quote, super team. I don't want to hear it. Mm. That is banned from our vocabulary.
Well,
I never want to hear that term ever, 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 ever again. It's never worked well in the NFL, well, and it's certainly going to work in the NBA.
No, that's not true. It worked in the NFL.
Who's a super team?
The Rams.
Eh, was that a super team?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess you're kind of right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they mortgaged their future.
You know what? I'll give you that. I think of the Eagles, but you're actually right. The Rams were sort of a super team. And then it flamed out and they were a disaster.
Well, I mean, but they knew that.
Yeah.
And
which I'd signed for.
By the way, they had to do it. Going new back to L.A. where nobody cares about football.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's two teams, so it's divided if there is a fan base. And if you don't win there, trust me, people aren't going.
No, I get that.
So they had to do it, and it worked.
And if it works for the Jets, sign me up. They could suck for the next 10 years. Mm. But keep an eye on that. They Boomer won't. Believes. Tiki believes.
Right.
Breece Hall there's believes.
Just, you know why?
Aaron Rodgers believes.
You know why I'm
Jets are getting Devontae Adams.
You know why I'm starting to believe it?
Why is it?
Because I keep hearing it.
So let me ask
usually
you.
Usually when these things pop up, oh, Aaron Rodgers wants Devontae Adams. That's funny. He's right. Not coming there. It goes away.
So you know what?
You don't hear it again. I hear it every 2 days.
To bring this program full circle, hey, Jet fans, season ticket holders, remember you were complaining about your season ticket gift?
Right.
It's coupons. It's a yearbook.
Take this gift.
You know what your season ticket gift is? Devontae Adams!
Gas, no break.
That's a season ticket gift. Now, you've heard me over the last few weeks talk about this awesome charity event that's coming up on Thursday at Mulcahy's. Put on together by the Take Me Out to the Ball Game Foundation. Well, joining us right now, the guy that puts it all together, he is a hero. He is the head honcho of it, and that is Rich Genovese. Rich, thank you very much for coming on, and Thursday is going to be awesome because it's always awesome. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, Evan. I'm doing great. Hi, Tiki. How are you?
What's up, Rich?
Thanks for having us on, and thank you for always being such a strong supporter of what we're trying to do.
Well, for those out there, tell everybody more about the Take Me Out to the Ball Game Foundation and what the cause does.
Sure. My wife, Lenore, and I started the foundation back in 2007, and it's exploded to the point where now we have 7 food pantries that, as you can imagine, post-COVID, the demand has been even greater. So we fill those 4 times a year. We have a gift card program with McDonald's where we furnish hot meals to those food pantries. We send children and their families in an effort to have a cohesive event to baseball games, amusement parks, minor league baseball, Long Island Ducks, as an example. We throw a Christmas party for those kids and their families. We provide winter clothing, and then every year, twice a year, thanks to Joe Canosa, we donate over 500 turkeys and hams to those food pantries, and they distribute them to those families in need.
So, Rich, tell us about the event this Thursday that's going on. What's going to happen out there?
The event's going to be fantastic. We have a band called Radio Days out of Mulcahy's. John Murray and Tim Murray have been our sponsors from day one. $5 Michelob Ultras, all-you-can-eat hot dog, hamburgers, and chicken. Silent and live auctions. As a matter of fact, some of the live auctions are items that you guys have generously donated. 4 tickets. You get to go to a game and then watch Evan score his book and have a nice time with Evan.
Evan will teach you donated. How to score.
That's right.
Yeah, Evan will teach you how to score. You guys have graciously donated an hour on your show. We're a lucky person who can come in and see you guys in action and talk hopefully more about Devontae Adams. And then we've got some great – we've got John Flaherty from the Yankees coming down. John's going to raffle off a legend experience where you can go to Monument Park and have 4 legend Yankee teats. And he's also going to auction off 4 tickets to a game next year and visit him up in the booth. So we've got the live auctions. We have silent auctions. We have beautiful baskets put together by Maura Kirby, Suzanne Doherty, and Eileen Minogue. And we have a great night. We get about 300 to 400 people every year. It's a great night to come out. And every penny, as Evan has said, goes right back out to grassroots support of these people in need. And the things that we take for granted, like clothing and turkeys and food, we were able to provide it to some people who don't get to have it.
It is an awesome night. Mulcahy's, if you haven't been there, is a great location. There's tons of items he talked about, a lot of great sports items, a lot of events, a lot of concerts over the years. So there's a lot of items you could bid on. It all goes to a great cause, and it's a wonderful thing to do on a Thursday night. And every dime, like he said, to the Take Me Out to the Ball Game Foundation. So anybody, I mean, Thursday night's a perfect night. We got no baseball, no distractions. Head on out. Take Me Out to the Ball Game Foundation.org is a website you can check out for more information. It is going to be an awesome night. You always do a stellar job, Rich. We appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you guys always supporting what we do. It's at Mulcahy's on Railroad Avenue. You can take the train. It's right across from the train station.
Very convenient.
It's really very convenient. Nice way to come out and have some fun, blow some steam, and call in sick on Friday.
That's right.
And nobody works on Friday anyways.
I know. And as a Jet fan, you want Devontae Adams on this team, correct?
I will give you anything you want for Devontae Adams.
That's right. Let's go. Rich, we appreciate it, man. Thank you, pal.
Guys, thank you for your support, and have a great day, and really looking forward to seeing you guys again. Thanks for all you do for us.
You got it. The great Rich Genovese. Check it out. Take Me Out to the Ballgame Foundation.org. Thursday night, Mulcahy's. It's a fun night. It's a charitable night, and there's so many great auction items. The live events we talked about, there's some great memorabilia you can bid on. It's a wonderful time. I much like him as a Jet fan, would love Devontae Adams. And what would the price tag have to be that would make me say no? Probably if the Raiders went two nuts and said multiple first-round picks.
Yeah.
But I think for a guy who still had caught 100 balls last year,
for a guy who,
when you put him with Aaron Rodgers, like, he's not showing a sign of decline.
No, he's not, but he is 32. And so you just, I don't want to see worry, but you don't, and again, from the Jets standpoint, I don't think this matters. You worry when it ends.
Right.
But it's probably going to be 35, and that's past your time of need for him. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like if he's 3 years here and he starts to decline, it's like, oh, Devontae.
You're going to pay Garrett anyway.
Right, but I think it doesn't matter. And as terrible as this sounds, you're kind of using him, right? You're using Devontae Adams, and I think he's aware of that. And he would sign up for it. He's done really well in his career and a huge contract when he came to when he got traded to the Raiders. So to him, it's about being somewhere where he's going to get a chance to win. And if they use me for 2 years and say, see ya, good luck.
Do you think, all right, this is my only little tiny worry, I have to have a little tiny worry, that Breece Hall wants the ball in his hands, man. He wants to be a bell cow running back.
Of course he does.
Garrett Wilson wants to be a number one wide receiver. He's got the talent to be a number one wide receiver. Look at the quarterbacks that have been throwing him the balls the last couple of years. Do you see there being a little bit of a issue in terms of that?
If this was three wide receivers and then say there's a tight end in the mix as well, that would probably become an issue because there's only so many passes that you can throw in a game.
Right.
Right, but from a running the ball standpoint, Breece Hall is going to be more than fed. You know what I mean? He's going to feel like he's getting the ball a lot next year. And I think if you catch four or five passes a game, that's pretty damn good.
Right.
It's not like you need to catch 10. Now, if you're the only one, maybe. But I do. There's enough balls to go around, especially if they're efficient and they have sustained drives and you know, big plays come from each of those guys. It just creates a better chance to win. So I wouldn't be worried about it because there's been plenty of teams that have multiple options, including a run game option. Look at the 49ers last year. There's a tons of places for the ball to go, and nobody was disgruntled.
I'm now convinced the reason the Jets gave a crappy season ticket gift is because they know they're giving you Devontae Adams.
No, it's not.
It's all come together now in my head, yeah. All these Jet fans are very upset about the season ticket gift. You could rewind on the Odyssey app if you missed it. All they got were coupons and a yearbook. I think Woody Johnson knows and said, you know what? I'm saving the big gift for late August, early September. I'm giving him Devontae Adams. What's a better gift than that? Steve is calling from Tom's River. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're good.
Good. What's up?
Devontae's bags might as well be packed, boys. If you listen to Devontae Adams, right, it was his choice to leave the Packers. He said it. They've said it. When it came down to it, he wasn't sure about Rodgers' future. He didn't know what Jordan Love was, and he was uncertain. He didn't want to be told he was only a good receiver because of Aaron Rodgers, so he left and went to his friend to play out in Vegas. Now, what really is going to drive this home is, aside from Aaron Rodgers, his best friends are Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, and and James Jones. They all left. Jordy died in Oakland. Randall went to the Texans. James Jones played for the Giants and some other teams.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Jennings took the money, went to the Vikings, disappeared off the face of the earth. He is not going to want to rot in Vegas. He's back with Rodgers to win a Super Bowl. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean,
the question is how much of him wanting it will force it to happen? Because at the end of the day, Tiki, you said that the Raiders don't actually have to trade him.
Yeah.
Now, remember, because I do think this matters.
But that's why it's got to be the right deal for the Raiders.
Well, that's the key. So the Raiders gave up a first-round pick and a second-round pick to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to say we need to match that in order to trade him?
So if you say, when you said first and fourth, it's only 2 years ago. But has he deteriorated in those 2 years? And I think the answer is no. But I think the quality of quarterback around him has significantly changed.
Yes.
Now, that's obviously because Aaron Rodgers was winning MVPs when he was with Devontae Adams. But still, I think that the Raiders still want to be made whole. And so that's going to be the only holdup, I think. Unless Devontae Adams starts getting cranky, which he's not.
Right.
So there's no pressure on the Raiders to move him. You know, it's kind of,
if you get a first round pick back though, and you recoup the first you gave up, that's not bad.
But that's not what they're. Yes, you're right. But that's not what they're going to ask for. They're going to ask for more
because
they know that the Jets really want Devontae Adams.
And then you wonder if Aaron
Jets quarterback really wants Devontae Adams.
But then you wonder, is Aaron Rodgers on the phone with Joe Douglas saying, "Get it done, Joe, get it done."
Well, if you're the Raiders, you got to hope that that's the case.
Yeah, and apply the pressure even more. Yeah. I honestly think it's going to be a first and a fourth. Like, I don't think you're getting the exact same deal from when he was 29 years old, but you are getting a very close return.
It was 2 years ago.
I understand, but he's 30. You just said he's 31, turning 32.
But age doesn't, it matters, but it doesn't. It matters when you hit the end of it.
Right.
But if he's still playing at a high level, which he did last year, it doesn't matter.
Caught 100 balls last year. Look at who his quarterback was.
Exactly right.
Nick is calling from the Bronx. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, how's everything going? Okay. Evan, get your finger off the bucket button. I'm not going to insult you like you usually pretend we're getting disconnected, so I'm here to help you out.
I've never done that. What are you talking about?
Let's yes, you did when we talked about it. I won't even bring it up. With two quick, fast things since I was on hold. When that guy talked about your beautiful music you play with the AI, I was getting gas one day, and you play one of your horrible store songs, and people were looking at me like, what the hell is this guy listening to? It was insane.
You got to turn your radio and down and get gas, Nick.
No, I didn't want to miss anything. I'm a Jet fan, and you're the only Giant that I ever loved, man. I'm telling you, you changed my heart. You changed it.
Thank you.
The other thing is you were saying that you think Adams might go for more. He has an opt-out after this year. So if his agent goes to him and says, hey, we want out, we're going to leave next year anyway, they might have to take less.
That's a great
but
point.
The thing I called for is, Evan, when you were on vacation, I called up about the seats. I heard you were listening because you always do on vacation anyway.
Right.
I have seats on the 50-yard line also.
Oh, nice.
And I was telling the guy, so you might be sitting right behind me because I'm in the first row. So
nice. Hold on a second. Now I'm curious. Right. What section do you sit in?
314.
Nah, we're on the other side, unfortunately.
Mm.
I was hoping for
one thing better, but so you're in 338, 339. That's the shade size. That's why I got the other side. But the reason I was telling the guys, those sections of rows are so long, and I know you like aisle seats.
Yeah.
If you take the wrong aisle, you're down by the 38-40 yard line.
I remember. Yeah, I remember when you called and said that, Dick.
And then the other thing, as far as the season ticket holder information.
Yeah,
so if you're in, I'm in 314, you want to be in the low single digits because then you're on the 50. If you're in 313, you want seats 26, 27 because then you're on the 50. Seats one in that row, you're down by the 38-40.
Got it.
So depending on which seat you're in your section, but I'll come over. I don't go to every game anymore, but I'll come over and say hello. I'll let you buy me a drink since you're a good shot now.
You got
and then
it.
As far as the season ticket holder stuff, years ago, they used to give a nice box with basically your tickets and your parking passes, and they never get the vouchers. Were always sponsors of theirs to promote the stuff. We used to get a hat years ago with our section on the back, which was pretty cool. But they stopped that.
Did your rep also tell you about?
Oh yeah, you had your section on the back. You used to get like a drawstring bag back in the day. All of that stopped. But did your rep tell you about the rewards program they do?
Yeah, it was telling me a little bit about it. But how's that work?
You can based on how much you spend on your seats, you start out with so many points. When you renew from next year, you get more points. If you buy extra tickets or parking passes, that money goes to it. You're going to get money per seat for rewards. You go there with your son, you want to buy something, you use your rewards money. I think the 300, you get $20 a seat up there. So right off the bat, you're starting out with $40.
All right, let's go.
When you go on the rewards portal, and you can get, you can go down to be a flag holder. You can stand there when the players come out. You can get this. It all depends on how you build up.
Yeah, and by the way, Nick, appreciate the info. That's what you were talking about.
That's cool.
Like the coupons, forget the coupons.
Yeah.
It's the rewards points.
Yeah,
where you can get those on-field type experiences.
Now, look, for a lot of us, maybe it's not that cool, but that's really for your kids.
Having
your kid on the field, if they think it's cool, holding a flag, it's pretty badass.
Or going down in that little area where, it's mostly the family area, but I guess there's sponsors areas down there as well.
Mm.
It's kind of cool to go down there.
Yeah, anyway. That's, I think, the perk that you love, to have your kids get to do something very, very cool. The Mets do that a lot. One thing I've noticed about the Mets that we should address, they can't draw people unless they're bribing you. I've learned that this weekend. More on that coming up. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Our old friend Craig Carton stops by in a little less than an hour. He's got some strong opinions on the New York Yankees and maybe a way to fix them. Plus, Jose Iglesias is performing at the All-Star Game. Are we okay with that? A lot to discuss live. Who's ready for the Home Run Derby tonight, baby? Pete Alonso trying to take it home tonight. I did notice something about the New York Mets. I made this observation to you 4 days ago that I thought this was going to be a very interesting weekend to see if the Met fans believe enough to go to games. Because they got a really big crowd on Tuesday night against the Nationals, a game I was at, and I was like surprised, like, wow, it's a lot of people. They had 31,000 people there that night.
What did they give away?
And they gave away a Brandon Nimmo. No, hold on. They gave away
the soccer jersey.
The soccer. Oh, thank you. They gave away a Met soccer jersey and $5 food. And so they had 31,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And that led us to say, hey, I wonder if the Mets are now going to start drawing, or did they just bribe people and that's why they showed up?
Yeah, because they've been good as of late.
They've been very good at late, but the attendance figures haven't really taken a big leap. So I said to you, boy, I think the next 2 days will be interesting against Washington because they're not giving anything away. Let's see how they draw. And they announced 24,000 and 25,000, which is not very good.
No.
Then they play the Rockies. Okay, weekend in the summer. There's a giveaway on Friday. There's a giveaway on Saturday. And there's nothing on Sunday. Friday night, they announced 28,000. Okay? Brandon Nimmo bobblehead.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, they give away a Met bucket hat, 31,000. On Sunday, they give away nothing. 24,000 people on a Sunday afternoon, which is, like, really, really bad.
Yeah, but it's also circumstances.
What's the circumstances?
European Championship on Sunday.
Tiki.
Copa America.
Tiki.
On Sunday.
Tiki.
I'm just telling you.
Are you saying
England-Spain was big?
I'm not saying it wasn't big, but that shouldn't affect the attendance on a Sunday afternoon.
It was also hot as hell.
It was hot as hell in Baltimore, and they had a big crowd for Yankees-Orioles.
It's the Yankees.
The Mets have an attendance issue.
Yeah, they do.
It's okay to admit that.
They do. I'm trying to make an excuse for them, but yes, they do.
No, I think the excuses have run out. You know, in April when they were putting up record low numbers, the answer was the weather's bad. No one thinks the team is any good. But now the weather's better, and people do think the team is
good. Well, I think the excuse early was the Mets didn't give us anything to be excited about.
Right.
The offseason was so bland, and there were some good signings. Obviously, Seve was a good signing, right? But Bader turns out to be it's a good signing. But it didn't feel exciting. Like, oh, they're really taking a run at this. David Stearns is going to come in and stamp his import right away. It didn't feel like that.
Right.
So there wasn't a ton of enthusiasm coming into the season. So you can understand in the cold months of the late spring why it was underattended.
Right.
But now they're one of the best teams in baseball, not statistically, not record-wise, but just by production, what they're doing on the field over the last couple. You should be excited.
So why aren't they drawn? Fan.
I don't know.
What's the answer?
Maybe people don't believe it. Maybe the fan doesn't believe it.
They don't believe they're good.
Well, they don't trust it yet.
Mm.
They don't trust that what they're seeing over the last month is something that's going to ultimately be sustainable. But the fact that it's been over a month should tell you that it is sustainable. And when you look at their lineup, it's not there isn't that like glaring three or four spots where you're like, it's all like, I like this guy. I like Nemo. I like Lindor. I like Alonso. I like JD. I like Alvarez. I like Vientos. There's not a ton of holes,
right,
when you look at their lineup. So you should be excited to see this Mets
team.
Well,
it's
play.
Funny,
Mets, because they're winning now.
The impression I get through, you know, being on sports talk radio, mm-hmm. talking to callers, talking to emailers, yeah. looking on Twitter, is that Mets fans are excited.
Yes,
Mets fans are pumped up, but they're not excited enough to go to Citi Field unless they're being bribed with a giveaway.
I think excited and like, I have to watch are two different things.
Or I have to give you my money. Because yes, it's expensive to go to a game.
Yes.
And so when you decide to go to Yankee Stadium, or you decide to go to Citi Field, or you decided to go to Oriole Park at Camden Yards, you're making a financial decision, and I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I totally get someone saying, I don't want to spend that kind of money.
Yeah.
But you will spend that kind of money once the team has been good for a year straight. You know what I mean? Like, Yankee fans are spending that kind of money because they get $45,000 for every game they play. So you can't even say, well, it's the economy of New York City.
Yeah,
it's the economy for one fan base, but it's not for the other.
Well, I think the thing that helps the Yankees, and it's hard to compare, but I think the thing that helps the Yankees is that there are a lot of tourists in the building. Right? It's like, all right, we're here.
You sound like Loogie talking about the Nets crowds.
Maybe, but it's just, if you're here for a weekend, you're going to go to a baseball game. Which game are you going to go to? You go to the Yankees, you're going to go to the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go to the Yankees. You have a choice. You're going to go to the Yankees,
right?
Or it depends on if you're whichever team is in town. But you're more likely to go to the Yankees.
I'm going to tell you something that is fascinating to me,
mm-hmm.
and just shows you the discrepancy between the New York Yankees and the New York Mets right now when it comes to people going to the ballpark.
Go ahead.
The New York Yankees have not had a home crowd announced below 40,000 since early June. On a Tuesday night against the Minnesota Twins, when they announced 37,000 people. They are getting 40,000 people every single night. Whether it's the Red Sox, 45,000 for every game. Whether it's Cincinnati, 42,000 for every game. Whether it was Atlanta, 45,000 for every game.
Listen to those opponents. They're all interesting
you
opponents.
You think people are going to Yankee Stadium to see the opponents?
No, but I'm just saying they're exciting games.
Yeah, I get, you're right. Like the teams I'm mentioning recently, the Cincinnati Reds? Don't give me the Reds.
Ellie De La Cruz is one of the most exciting players.
Nobody
in baseball.
Showed up to see Ellie De La Cruz.
I know that, but if I was going to go see a team on the at Yankee Stadium that and the opponent was interested, it would be the Reds.
No, I
that
get
guy
it,
is unbelievable.
But you see but you see that the prices, which are high, and the Yankees, they don't have an attendance issue.
No, not at all.
The New York Mets have an attendance issue. And I guess the question I have for Mets fans who are not showing up is, well, why? Is it you don't believe enough in them?
No.
What is the reason why they had 25,000 on a Sunday afternoon? Like, I'll be blunt. That's a pathetic crowd. I'm not calling Mets fans pathetic because, again, you probably have reasons. I'm sure someone will call in and say, all right, Evan, I'll lay it on the line. I watch every game, blah, blah, blah. Here's my reason. But the numbers are really bad.
Yeah.
They just are. Like, that's not disputable.
Especially for a team that's played great and is now in the wild card spot and has interesting players. It's not like there's just dud, not going to have real impact on Major League Baseball over their careers players. All these guys are going to have impacts on the game. Obviously on the team, but on the game. Lindor is that. Pete Alonso is that. Alvarez is that. Maybe Vientos becomes that. Like, all these guys are going to have him. Diaz is that. You should want to go. But I think there's a lack of actual faith that this team is going to really be good.
So that's the bottom line. Your opinion is, and maybe it's the answer,
mm-hmm.
the reason why the Mets cannot draw a crowd unless they bribe you with $5 beers mm-hmm. or a really cool giveaway is people don't believe. My fellow Met fans do not believe. You don't believe in the team.
Yeah.
You don't believe Luigi, enough do you believe in the team. Well, you know the answer to that question.
I absolutely believe in the Mets.
When's the last time you bought a Met ticket?
So hold on a second.
Never is the answer. So it's an invalid question.
Yeah, I don't buy tickets for any games. I have you or Tiki bring me to games. The thing I think with the Mets and the Yankees have created a brand. I remember doing the show with Tiki last year when he got sick in August. They were still drawing. You could call it tourists, you could call it frauds, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're still going to pack that park because they've created a brand.
100%.
Steve Cohen is trying to build a brand with the Mets. Once they do that, they will draw more. They had a bad year last year, so we're seeing the residual effects of that. People are just not going to the park yet based off last year. Once they build a brand and once they have a consistent winner like the Yankees, they will draw as well.
Well, they have drawn in the past, so it's not like a lack of belief in their ability to draw.
Yeah,
like the Mets have had big attendance years. You look at the last few years of Shea Stadium, mm-hmm. they were drawing very well, and a part of that is being a consistent winner. But what I always have found fascinating, and I remember talking about this with my dad in the late 90s as well, is when does that turn? Like, when does the lack of a belief in a team change? And sometimes it takes a very long time. Sometimes it takes a while before people are willing to say, I want to spend money to see that team play baseball. But right now, and it took a while to come to this because I wanted to see it fall out. I wanted to see the results through June and July as the Mets were playing better. But the results have told me this story. The New York Mets don't draw unless they bribe you. That's where we're at.
Yeah,
and by the way, the bribing thing confuses me too. Like, really, you will go to a game if they give you a bucket hat? Like, that's the tiebreaker to decide if you're going to go to a game on a Saturday or a Sunday and don't be bucket hat?
Well, I mean, so I'm going back.
What's up with that?
I'm going back to look at 2022.
Yes.
And it was a similar issue to the All-Star break. Right? You get, like, early July. Texas is in town. 26,000, 25,000. I think that was a Saturday and Sunday. In July 1st and, or 2nd and 3rd. In 2022, mm-hmm. yeah, this team won 100 games.
Right.
Right. So, but then after the break, it started to tick up. So you had San Diego coming to town. So the 23rd and 24th, the Padres were here. It was 39,000 and 35,000. So maybe it's just a post All-Star thing that could turn it around if they're good. And they're good right now. So maybe it turns around post All-Star break. Because after that, they're all in the 30s. Some of them are in the 40s.
Right.
Right? So the Dodgers come late in the season, 41,000, 42,000 almost. So maybe this is an early season. We're not buying. After the All-Star break, the team is good in wild card position. We know that they have a shot. Then it ticks because before the All-Star break in 2022, it was the same thing.
You know why 2022 is not always the best comparison? Because I know this may sound crazy to some. I think you still had people that didn't necessarily want to go to a stadium, that weren't necessarily going out in the post-COVID world
really?
We lived in. Yeah.
I thought in 2022, it was like, all right, that crap is over. Let's go.
Yeah, to a lot of people it was, but not to everybody. You still kind of had that, like 2021.
But it flipped after the All-Star. But my point is, come late July, there were 35,000 people at some of these games.
Well, that team was going to win 100 games. And this team is not going to be in that position to win 100 games. Not going to be that good.
I mean, there was a Tuesday. There's a Tuesday against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They had 35,000.
That's great. That's a great figure.
Right? And
can't even get 35 on a giveaway these days. I mean, think about it. Think about what the crowds have been like. And look,
Sunday before that, it was 41,000. So look, wait till after the All-Star.
Oh, I'm sick of the waiting. I was told to wait in April.
I was
told to wait in May. But I keep waiting. What am I waiting for?
But the history of their last really good season, which was 2022, wasn't as tepid, but it was tepid.
And by the way, when the Mets come back and start playing baseball after the All-Star break, they got it smart. They know what they're doing. First game back against the Braves, pickleball paddle giveaway. Mm. The next game, a Friday night against the Braves, the second of 115 different firework nights.
There you go.
And then Saturday, the creme de creme. Am I using that correctly? Is it creme de creme?
It's creme de la creme.
Creme de la creme. Thank you, Rosie. The creme de la creme of New York Mets giveaways. Mm-hmm. And this I understand. They better sell out on Saturday against the Braves. They're giving away a replica Mike Piazza Mercury Mets jersey or t-shirt. That's a giveaway. So they should do well because they're bribing you on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
See, now here's the problem. I don't know what the giveaways were on these games that I was just looking at.
That's a good point. See, I know because of this season and the recency of it.
They could have really worked hard in the All-Star break to ramp up their giveaways.
Ramp up those giveaways.
In the second half.
Now, the Yankees have had good giveaways, too, and I'm sure that's helped. But the Yankees get 40,000 every single night. And what's funny is you listen to the city right now, and the Met fan is more excited than the Yankee fan. The Yankee fan's down. Clay Holmes stinks. Anthony Volpe can't field a ground ball. And Met fans, you know what Met fans are doing right now? they're all singing, oh, my God, like over and over in the shower together. Not together, but like in the shower. Oh,
my God. Yeah, we're not showering together, just to be clear here.
Right. No.
You know what it is, too, and I know sometimes it's sacrilege to say this, but they're not drawing the casual fan. I'll give you the wrestling terminology. WWE draws a lot of people because they have a lot of casual fans. Mm. It's not a lot of diehard wrestling fans, right?
Good point.
Yankees have a lot of casual fans. The Mets had casual fans at times when they were winning. They've kind of lost that casual fan. And for whatever reasons, if they have a dance team, if they have a scoreboard, giveaways, whatever, I'm just throwing out a bunch of examples, to get that casual fan in. Ultimately, winning year in, year out will bring the casuals back.
Let's go to Lorenzo in Keyport, New Jersey. What's up, Lorenzo?
Evan, Tiki, as always. What's Evan, up? I have a favor I'll ask soon, but not yet. Just a little wonder. All right. Evan, four quick points on the attendance. One, I am the guy. Central New Jersey has a lot of Mets fans. Mm-hmm. To get to Citi Field is a pain in the neck. And yesterday, I considered it, but I'm one of maybe, let's say, 2,000 people that did not go because at 3 p.m., it was Euros, and then it was Copa. Right. And I'd rather stay home and watch all three of those Mets to the two soccer games. Secondly, the Heat. But really, there are a lot of Mets fans in Central Jersey. It's just getting there. I'd rather go to the one game at Yankee Stadium versus the Mets. It's easier to get to.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So those, and that's not a big... let's just say it's 2,000 or 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe yesterday was 27,000 instead of 24. It doesn't seem as bad. But my answer is this. Stevie Cohen, every game, three lucky winners win $2,500. You'll get people there every game.
That's great.
That's a great idea.
And by the way, I don't even think it needs to be that much. I'm serious.
Well, look, the Mets should be very creative at how they get people to show up to games.
Hey, there's a chance you're going to win $500.
You know, you said something about the location.
That's all you need. It's not $2,500. $500.
That's
people,
it.
People will come.
$500 will get people, yeah. He said something about the location, how difficult it is to get to games. The one thing I noticed, I moved to Westchester in 2016. I used to live in Queens. It was a very easy commute to go to Met games. And I moved to Westchester. It's Yankee country, right? Uh-huh. Like, everybody's a Yankee fan. And I noticed in the post-pandemic world, there's a lot of Met fans now living around us. And when I've talked to people, what I've heard is a lot of people left Queens and left Manhattan during the pandemic.
No doubt.
Picked up and left and went to Westchester and Jersey. So I wonder if the Mets have lost a disproportionate amount of people that normally would have come to games because they lived close by.
Maybe.
And now all of a sudden it's a pain in the ass to go to a game.
I could see that because the city emptied.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could get out of the city, you got out of the city. Some people didn't go back.
Let's go to John in Valley Stream. What's up, John?
Hey, Evan and Tiki. Love you guys. Tiki, my Giant jerseys. I have LT, Bavaro. I have the guy that's dead to us, Eli, and I have yours.
Nice.
So love you. Thank you for everything.
Appreciate you, bro.
I think the problem is twofold, and Lugie touched on it, and the guy who just called touched on it. When you don't have a big season base, you're not going to, in New York, it's tough to get the walk up unless you bribe the people. Okay? That season base is sold in the off season. What were we doing in the off season? We were like, well, here comes the rebuild. This is it. It's going to be there. You know, this is.
So I'll watch these from home.
You know what? Let me just watch from home because it's not easy. And also, you know, people are hurting out there. So that expendable income, do I really want to give it to the Mets right now? I went to the Friday game, okay? Mm-hmm. I got cheap tickets, $15 a seat. Not bad. Three seats, right?
Not bad at all.
Transportation. Mm-hmm. I get transportation free because of my job. I never drive this. I take transportation. Yet somehow it's still $250 when I'm walking out the door to go home.
Yeah.
Right. You can't do it.
Right.
You
do. It's hard.
You do bring up a good point that having, like, I'm sure the Yankee season ticket base is enormous to where even on a night where no one wants to go to a game, or even last year was a great example. The Yankees were out of a pennant race, and yet they still had huge attendance numbers. Yeah, because they sold so many tickets ahead of time.
Well, yeah. And then the bodies are going to show up because if someone has season tickets, like, yeah, my team is done. Hey, Frank, you want to take your kids to a game?
Right.
Sure.
Right.
And so you get people in the seats.
Because they've already been sold. Like, you've already spent the money on the tickets. John's in Staten Island. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Lugie and a lot of people are hitting my points, but this is a lot. And I'm a season ticket holder of the Mets, and I'm an outlier, you know, so I'm going to go to about 60 to 70 games a year. Mm. But the ticket base took a hit on the off season because since last deadline, we knew the plan. All right. So there was no, I'm sure they lost some people and they probably didn't have big gains, but the biggest thing is the Yankees have had 30 years of sustained winning. We've lost the casuals And I bet the disparity, if you polled what the Met fan to Yankee fan ratio is in here, it's changed. It's if you're a 30-year-old guy and you got kids and you're going to go to one or two games a year, what are you going to pick?
Mm, yeah,
Judge and Judge
now,
or whatever.
Soto,
we've just lost a lot of casuals.
Yeah,
we've lost in 30 years. They win every year. They built up a tremendous. And Lugie said it. It's the brand.
Yeah,
we can't. You know, we'll draw 40 next year if they go out and get Soto or if they have a big playoff run this year. Shea was different. It was in the 80s, boy. And walk-ups are different now. As a 20-year-old in the 80s, I was, let's go to the game. Get my friends together. Let's go to the game. We went that day. We went to the stadium. We bought tickets there. We scalped. We did whatever we had to do to get in. It's just... it's different now. I don't think people walk in. They have to make a plan to go to a game.
Well, and also,
and you're planning it technology-wise. You have it on your phone already.
Right.
It's just it's a different feel to go do it. And the other thing, it's kind of to what Lugie was saying and also what this last caller was getting to. Baseball has not – it's gotten a lot better. It's become significantly better. But there was a point where baseball just didn't market themselves the correct way. You didn't – like, what? Why are my incentives to go or watch this game?
Mm.
And they didn't do a good job of promoting. And so it's gotten a little bit better. But I was having this conversation with my seatmate on my plane when I found out that...
Your seatmate?
The seatmate. The guy was sitting next to me on the plane.
I've never heard seatmate before.
That's what it is. He's seatmate.
He's the guy who's sitting next to you.
Right. Okay, whatever.
You became friends with him?
Yeah, very good friends with him now.
What's his name?
Dave.
Did you guys exchange numbers?
I did.
Who asked for the number first? You or Dave?
I said, give me your number.
Wow. Imagine what Dave must have said to his friends. You're not going to believe it. Tiki Barber asked for my number.
No, I don't think he said that. It was just cool.
Did he know who you are?
Of course he did. He's a Giants, fan.
Of course.
Of course he did. And his son was on the plane, too, and he's a baseball player, his wife. So it's cool. We had a good little conversation for 3.5 hours. Actually, 4.5 hours. So we got delayed a little bit.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of talking, bro.
But my point was, we were talking about baseball and why it's not... you don't know anybody. They don't promote themselves aggressively enough. Whereas in NFL, like, if it's Pat Mahomes versus Josh Allen, like, you hear about it for like a week and a half. You don't get that in baseball sometimes. So to the point of the casual fan, it's like, all right, why do I want to go to that game? Unless you know, you don't know.
Right.
And so the Yankees, it just happens naturally because they're the Yankees. Well, and their brand extends outside of even what they're trying to do, even though they do a good job of promoting all of the things that are great about them.
Well, one thing he brought up, and it's interesting, if you decide on a Friday night, I want to go to this game. I want to go see the Mets take on the Rockies. I get a Brandon Nimmo bobblehead. And you decide to go, your best avenue of purchasing tickets is buying a ticket that's already been sold by the New York Mets by going on a SeatGeek or a StubHub.
Yes.
So you deciding to go doesn't even help the Mets in terms of attendance because all what's happening is you're recycling a ticket that's already been sold that person just can't go to anymore.
On any given night, what's the box office availability? Is it significant?
How many tickets are available?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot. If they're announcing 25,000 people, that means there's 18,000 tickets available, but they're probably more expensive than you going on the secondary market and just purchasing it that way.
Yeah,
so that helps bring attendance down a little bit, too. Now, if you're the Yankees and you have a huge base of tickets that are already gone, you know there aren't many tickets to sell from the box office anyway.
So at the box office, they're not going to sell it for less than face.
No.
Right, yeah.
Well, right. You're going to go on SeatGeek and buy it for $12 like our last caller said.
Right.
I've been screaming this one for years. Evan's heard this one a million times, but I'm going to say it again. It is cooler to go to a Yankee game. The bars on River Avenue are flooded with good-looking girls. If you're a 30-year-old guy, you're going to go to a Yankee game because there's good-looking girls and awesome bars. They need, and I know Steve Cohen wants to do this, they have to build up the area around there. If it's really cool, if he builds, you know, basically Disneyland around Citi Field, that attendance is going to triple because it's going to be more fun and you'll get more casuals.
Yeah, they have to do it from the stations, too. From the transportation stations. Whereas, you know, you get out of Yankee Stadium, you walk out of the subway, it's like, all right, I can go there and go there and go right here.
Right, right.
And then when I'm done, guess what? I just hop back on the subway and go home. It's so easy.
Oh, there's no doubt, though, Lugie's right. The outside area of Yankee Stadium is a cooler place.
It's like Mardi Gras.
There's no outside area.
I need some new hubcaps, though.
Exactly.
You need an oil change, Citi Field.
Then they got the edge. Ed in Garnerville, New York. What's up, Ed?
Hey. You guys pretty much covered everything. I was going to go talk about the casual fan and all.
But then there's the piece that I'm sure you can relate to, Evan. It's the Mets side of it, the Mets fan side of it. What they make us feel and what they make us do. Meaning, I got pulled away out of town for 2 weeks, and the Mets were tanking. I come back, and they're in the midst of a freaking 7-8 game winning streak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now I start to watch a game, and they lose 7-6. I stop watching the game, and the next day they win 7-3.
You know what I've learned? That stop watching games.
I mean, you're a bad luck charm. I have to make a big Familia decision based on that. Whenever I take Jet to games, the Mets win. When I take my little guy Spence to games, they always lose. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do?
Right.
Am I supposed to tell my youngest son, sorry, you're out?
Yes.
Jet's the good luck charm?
Yes, you're supposed to say that if you're a real Met fan.
That's so easy for you to say, you fatherless bastard. I mean, come on, what do you want me to do? I'm going to tell my youngest who has such a good time at these games. He's so happy.
He'll understand in the future. He'll respect you more.
Tiki will tell me that the athlete performs on the field and Spence or Jet being at the game has no bearing results.
It has absolute bearing on their fandom.
Yes.
They believe that they're a part of the success.
They do. You want to hear something nuts, though? Yesterday, I didn't want to text you guys this because you guys would assume that I was going to jinx the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday afternoon, when I walked into Citi Field, I had, and I looked this up because I'm a loser, my longest consecutive winning streak in the history of my fandom in terms of going and seeing the Mets in person and them winning. And I looked it up.
How many?
I fact-checked it.
How many?
9 in a row.
Oh, wow.
I had seen 9 Met victories in a row. And it's random because I don't go to every game anymore. So the streak began in London. The second London game. It included a game in D.C. against the Nationals 2 weeks ago. I had a 9-game winning streak. And I looked it up. It had tied my longest ever stretch of consecutive wins. And I wanted to tell you. And I wanted to tweet it. But I knew they will lose as soon as I do that.
Yes.
And they lost. So my streak
I'm
is
a
over.
Loser.
It's over.
Your fault.
Yeah, it's my fault. Well, I didn't tweet it. So is it really my
but
fault?
You thought it.
Oh, I thought about it all right. Went right through my head.